welcome to our first Brookings Church service brought to you. Hope that this is a time where you are blessed by God and encouraged. So,
let's pray. Lord, in this time of crisis, teach us to be our brother's keeper. Give us compassion for our neighbour. Help us to reach out in love and thoughtfulness. Show us what we need to do. Each of us, in our corner, in our space, in our community. We need your grace and your healing love right now, and we'll need it more as things become more difficult. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to see you and to be aware of others. Let us be as you. Yes, to our closest neighbours, our friends and our families, but also to the poor, the elderly, the fearful, the sick. May we be your hands, even though we cannot touch. May we be your voice of calm. May we be your vessels of love, to serve you and for you to serve our needy world. Amen. We sing, "My life is in you, Lord."
Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things human beings look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians of the New Testament, chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'"
We're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd. I will trust in you alone."
Let's relieve me home.
John chapter 9, verses 1 to 41.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home, seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God and tell the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
Matthew 6:22-23 says this: "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What is the source of our life, our light? Is it from God? Or is it maybe from our own learning? Or what other people have told us? Or are we, like the moon, shedding a reflected light which is only a pale imitation of the true light? The light of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be not just reflected light, but needs to be in each of us. Without it, what have we to offer? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And Jesus also said, "You are the light of the world." We cannot see our way without the light of his presence guiding us. How can we possibly lead others or show them the right way without having that light in us? In 1 Samuel 16, God tells Samuel that each of Jesse's sons who passed before him is not the one whom God has chosen. They looked handsome and well-formed. They were each, in a worldly sense, real men and worthy. But God says this, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." What is in our hearts? Is it the knowledge and the fear of the Lord, or just words? What is the source of the light in us? It is not always easy to tell if someone has the true light of Jesus. Some people are very good at faking it. They have all the phraseology and the responses down pat, but it is just head knowledge. Jesus wants to bring us into heart knowledge of himself. I'm going to read that again. Jesus wants to bring us into a heart knowledge of himself. Not just the knowing in the mind, but the absolute knowing that comes with his presence indwelling each of us. When we meet someone who seems to have it all correct, who says the right thing and does the right thing, but there's something we just can't put our finger on that doesn't quite gel. Maybe that person hasn't yet managed to move the 8 inches down from the mind's knowledge of God to the heart's knowledge of God. We look so readily on the outside. We are attracted to beautiful people, to people who make us feel good for whatever reason. We are susceptible to charm, to position, and if we are honest, to money. Those who live well, have nice cars and houses, are able to enjoy their lives with little, if any, financial restraint. We find that whole idea attractive and tend to want to seek after it ourselves. But each person in that position is just like us. They have the same dramas, the same doubts, the same fears. Sickness reaches them just as it reaches any of us. What makes the difference? Not money, not status, not looks, but a knowledge of the goodness and faithfulness of God that keeps us secure and trusting in his mercy. In these times of stress and fear, of self-isolation and panic buying, where is our light? Where do we go to find relief and comfort? Who is our safety? Psalm 91 is a tremendous comfort and reassurance in these times. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Don't these words sound like promises to hang on to? Later in the psalmist says, those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them with long life. I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. When circumstances around us make us fearful, remember whose you are. Remember that this is the God you serve, the Almighty, the one who shelters you under his wings, the one who protects you. We do not want to be like the Pharisees in our reading today, who thought that they could see. After all, they had the knowledge of the scriptures and studied the scriptures, but they could not. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. If we come to God in humility, honestly saying to him, Lord, I do not understand. I am fearful and I am struggling with all of this. Help me to trust in you. Help me to believe your word and to believe that you are my Redeemer, saving me from everything I need to be saved from, because I need your help here. God will hear you. He will answer, and he will cover you with his love and his grace. Those of us who are most at risk, and that includes most of us here at Brooklands, carry within us the light of the world. We know that whatever happens, God is with us. He will lead us and he will sustain us. We belong to him and he has promised to be with us and protect us. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. But remember also that there is a world of fearful people out there who need our prayers even now and even more. God is able to use the light of his presence in us and in our prayers to impact the lives of people we don't even know. We have his light. Let's be a part of that light, reaching out and touching our frightened and needy world, not physically, but in prayer and love. As John 9, verses 8 and 9 says, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Let's pray. Lord, by your grace, we are not people of fear. By your grace, we are people of courage. By your grace, we are not people who protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbour's safety. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. May we be united in our commitment to one another, to all who live around us and to the world we share. May we find ways to set our own anxiety aside and to remember we are not alone. May God's peace settle upon each of us and remain with us always. Amen. We pray for the church and the world. Ever generous God, you mark us as your own and receive us all as your sons and daughters. We bring to you our prayers for the people of the world. When we take more than our share of the earth's resources, when we squander our inheritance, when we wander far from you, draw us back to your welcoming arms. God of grace, hear our prayer. Ever generous God, with outstretched arms you call your people home and you feed us with your body and blood. We bring to you our prayers for your church. When our lives do not proclaim your gospel, when we are judgmental and self-righteous, when we wander far from you, draw us back to your welcoming arms. God of grace, Hear our prayer. Ever generous God, you reach out to us in reconciling love and entrust us with your message of reconciliation. We bring to you our prayers for those with whom our lives are bound. When we cannot say, I am sorry. When we cannot say, I forgive. When we wander far from you, draw us back to your everlasting arms. God of grace, hear our prayer. Ever generous God, you are ready always to give more than we dare to ask or hope. We bring to you our prayers for those in need. We bring before you everybody that has been infected by COVID-19, everybody that is in self-isolation that has come back from overseas, everybody in self-isolation who is fearful. We bring to you the doctors, the nurses, the caring staff, those on the front line, those providing the necessities which we need to keep on living. We ask for your grace for those people, your protecting hand to be on them. And we ask for your blessing on our government at this time as they lead us in the most careful way towards safety. Lord, when our hearts are eaten up by jealousy or greed, when we're kept far from you by guilt or pride, when we wander far from you, draw us back to your welcoming arms. God of grace, hear our prayer. Ever generous God, you prepare a welcome beyond our imagining for all who return to you. We remember those who rest in your love. Give you thanks for the saints and sinners who have turned to you, for the faithful people of this parish. May we, like them, come home to your welcoming arms and share in the eternal banquet you prepare for all your children. God of grace, hear our prayers. Amen.
Jesus.
time of worship and prayer and of hearing the word has been a blessing to you. Of course, we invite you to share it with others if you wish to, and share that blessing, and to keep on praying for another, contacting each other, and just reassuring each other of the presence of God with you and with others. So, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be on you this day, now, and also for those you love and pray for. Amen.